Now, can we take our Bibles at this time? And we're turning today to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3, just for a short reading again from the Word of the Lord. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Over there in the New Testament, it's found towards the end of the New Testament, after the Gospels and then all the different epistles, you'll find 1 and 2 Timothy just in there before the little books of Titus, Philemon, and then Hebrews. It's 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And I want to read just 4 verses from the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy 3, reading verse 14. Paul is writing to this young man of God, this young servant of the Lord, who Paul evidently led to Christ himself. He addresses Timothy in the first chapter as a son in the faith. And so we know that Paul was Timothy's spiritual father and had a tremendous interest in this young convert and sought to encourage him all the way in his Christian life. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And we know that God will add his own blessing to this reading from his own inspired and infallible word. Can we just pray very briefly, seeking the Lord for help now? Invite the Lord, invite the Spirit of God to speak to your heart and life, and pray that the word of God will bless you and get into your very soul and find a resting place. Our loving Father, again, we come to thee with thankfulness of heart for the privilege of having thy word in a language that we can understand. We thank thee today that thou hast not left us in the darkness, but we thank thee today for the light of Holy Scripture. We pray now that the Spirit of God would be pleased to come, rest upon the word of God, rest upon the preacher, and speak, O God, into the hearts of every hearer. We pray that thou wilt meet every person today at the point of need. I ask, O God, now in the Saviour's name, that thou wilt glorify thy Son, that thou wilt exalt and magnify his name. Grant, O God, today that my name would perish and be forgotten, but may the name of the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted, magnified, and glorified. May souls today know what it is to be born again. May thy people know what it is to be built up in their most holy faith. We pray, Lord, today that whatever the need is, that for thy glory and for the honour of thy Son, that thou wilt hear our prayer by meeting the need, and that thou wilt speak with the voice that wakes the dead and make the people hear. We ask these things in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen. Again, we're coming this morning to look at the subject of the world's bestseller. We've been looking at the subject of the Bible now for about 7 weeks. And we've been thinking about how that the Word of God is indeed, and has been for many, many years, the world's best-selling book. The Bible is in reality a collection of 66 books. 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, and of course the New Testament and the Old Testament separated by a gulf of some 400 years. The Bible was penned by around about 40 different authors from many different places, from different countries, in different countries, and was written over a period of 1600 years. And yet from Genesis to Revelation, the subject matter and the theme of the Bible remains the same. That man is lost, and that God has provided a Savior in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have thought about God's revelation in Scripture, how God has revealed himself to man. We then thought about inspiration, how all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And now for a number of weeks we've been thinking about the authentication of scripture, how we know that the Bible is God's inspired word. And week after week we've been calling different witnesses to the stand, because the Savior himself said, the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the mouths of two or three witnesses shall a matter be established. And so we allowed the Bible, first of all, to speak for itself. Then we thought about what the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, said about scripture. Then we thought about the testimony of history and the testimony of science. And today I want to speak on something very practical. And I want to bring another witness to the stand, and that is the saved sinner. And I want to today speak upon the subject of salvation and how the Word of God has got the power, the ability, and the authority not only to save souls and to change eternal destinies, but also the power to transform lives. And so today we're thinking about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15, whenever he said that the Holy Scriptures are able or have the ability to make individuals wise unto salvation. And I just want to speak today upon salvation's testimony. And I want today to speak to you for a while upon the book that saves. The book that saves. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 21, tells us and exhorts us to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. I don't know everybody's spiritual circumstance in this meeting today. I know today that there are many that are saved, but I can say that without apology and without exception, that every single person in this meeting today has a soul. Whenever you were born into this world, and whenever you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and whenever you were formed in your mother's womb, you were born and created and conceived with a soul that will never die. And only the Bible, only the scriptures, it's the only book in the world that gives hope, gives assurance, and shows us the way that our souls that need to be saved can save. Only the Bible gives us adequate instruction in life. Only the Bible prepares us for eternity. And only the Bible presents a Savior. Millions of lives, millions of homes, millions of towns, countless countries have been changed through the power of God's Word. Upon the authority of God's Word, people's lives have been transformed. People have proved the promises of God. And people have seen answers to prayer. All testimonies to the authenticity of this book today that we hold in our hands, the Bible. Many years ago, there was a preacher who was preaching in an open air. And a man came along who was a skeptic or an infidel, and he challenged the open air preacher as to the reality of the message of the Bible. This man happened to be a communist, and he was an atheist. And the open-air preacher stopped and spoke to this atheist, and he said these words. He says, I challenge you now. You come back to this very spot at the same time next week, and I challenge you to bring with you just 10 people whose lives have been bettered and transformed and revolutionized with the philosophy of atheism. And if you bring just 10 people, I will bring 500 whose lives have been transformed by the message of the gospel. Of course, it was no contest. There's no way an atheist could find 10 people, let alone 500, whose lives have been transformed, revolutionized, given hope with the philosophy of atheism. The fact of the matter is that the religion of the Bible is the oldest religion in the world. Shortly after God created this world and man fell, God provided a way of salvation and God provided a remedy. And every single person that the Lord has saved from the very gates of Eden up until this present time, in virtually every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, every nation across the face of the earth, is a testimony to the authenticity of the words of Scripture. Whenever Paul was writing to this young man, Timothy, who was probably just at this time in his early 20s, he begins to write to Timothy about the last days. And that's what 1 Timothy chapter 3 speaks about. And then he exhorts young Timothy to stick close to the Word and to stay near to the Bible. And he says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And I just want to say three very simple things about this wonderful book that saves this morning. And I want to tell you, first of all, something about the privilege of having the Bible, or the privilege of knowing the Scriptures. You see, whenever Paul wrote to Timothy, he was careful to remind him of his upbringing. And he says, "Now, Timothy, since you were a little boy, the very earliest memories that you had were of your godly mother and your godly grandmother. And you cannot even think of the time in your life whenever you were not aware that there was a book, there was a holy book, the Holy Scriptures. Ever since you were a child, you have had the Bible. You have had the Word of God in its different aspects up until that moment in your life." In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says, "I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Here's a young boy. And the earliest memories that he has had in his life was his godly mother. Her name was Eunice. And his godly grandmother as well, and her name was Lois. From ever Timothy could remember, he had a godly influence in his life. From his youngest days, he had been taught the Word of God. He knew the Bible, and he knew the Gospel. He knew that there was a God that created this world. He knew that the Bible says in Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And he also knew that shortly after God created this world, something went tragically wrong. And the first man and the first woman that God created fell into sin and transgressed God's law and plunged the human race into ruin. Do you ever look at the world today? Do you ever watch the news, read the newspapers, listen to the radio, and ask yourself the very simple and fundamental question, what is wrong with this world? How is it that so many homes are falling apart? How is it that so many people are turning to drugs and to alcohol and to crime? How is it today that prisons are full? How is it today that children are being abandoned? Why is it today that homes are being ripped apart? Marriages are falling down. People are turning to drugs, to alcohol, to suicide, to homosexuality. How is it that there are wars, pestilences, and famines across this earth? How is it that virtually every time you watch the news, 99.9% of the news that we receive is bad news? Is it not a testimony that rather than this world getting better, this world is getting worse, and there is something fundamentally wrong with this planet on which we live? Well, Timothy was brought up in a godly home. He knew that God created a perfect world, and he knew that there was something wrong with this world, and the problem was sin. And it's something that affects every single person born into this world. Timothy knew that it affected him. Timothy knew that it had affected his mother and his grandmother and his whole family circle, because the Bible says that all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But Timothy also knew that God provided a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, who shed his precious blood upon the cross. And he knew also that this same Jesus that died on the cross, was buried and rose again, one day would come again to judge the world at his appearing. And he was a privileged young man. He had the Scriptures and he knew the Scriptures, and I'm sure that I'm speaking to people today in this meeting, and you have enjoyed the same privileges that Timothy has enjoyed. From a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. From a child, you can think about your mother, your father, your grandfather or your grandmother, and you have known the Word of God since you're a little child. Since maybe 3, 4, 5 years of age, you've been able to quote verses like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you've heard it time and time and time and time again. And yet there are millions in this world. You have never heard it once. There are millions in this world today that don't know the Scriptures, that haven't had the privileges that you have had, and maybe today you despise it. Despise your godly upbringing. And maybe today there are some here that just want to shake away from the shackles of responsibility. And you say, whenever I get to 17, 18, 21, I'm finished with church. I'm finished with the Bible. I'm finished with these rules and regulations. I'm finished with it. It's gone. Maybe there's an older person here this morning and you find yourself in God's house and you can think about your mother. You can think about your father. You can think about your grandparents. You maybe would say that they were godly people and they loved you and they taught you the Scriptures and you've known them from a child. Let me ask you today, what are you doing with them? Are you saved today? I've said it before. It's like one old Puritan said, there are many today and they could lift their Bible off their shelf and just with their finger in the dust that covers the cover of their Bible, they could write the word damnation. You know, I was speaking to somebody just during the week and I've heard it so often. You ask them the question, do you have a Bible in your home? And they're so proud to tell you, yes, I've got a lovely Bible and I got it from my parents. I got it when I was married. Or I got it as a Sunday school prize and it's in a lovely box and it sits in a special place in your home. And then you ask them, well, do you ever read it? Oh, no, don't read it. And they treat it with such respect. But after all, and I say it reverently, this book, it's ink and it's paper. There's no value in the construction of the Bible other than the money that it costs to put it together. And people sometimes have it in this kind of super spiritual or superstitious respect. And they think that because there's a copy of the Scriptures somewhere in their home that it'll kind of ward off evil. It's not the paper and the ink that's the important thing. It's the message that the Bible gives. And whenever you see a person and their Bible's falling apart, generally speaking, that will be evidence that their life isn't falling apart. God gave us the Bible that we might read it. I wonder if you ever thought of the privilege of knowing the Scriptures. Paul not only talks about the privilege of knowing the Scriptures, but he talks about the power of the Scriptures. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. The Bible, the Holy Scriptures are able. And that word able is a Greek word that comes from a word dunamai, which signifies power, ability or authority. And it's in the present tense. The Holy Scriptures are present tense able to make thee wise unto salvation. You see, this book's a living book. God could speak to you today through the Bible. Right into your heart and right into your soul, bringing you to a sense of need and to a sense of conviction. There's power in the Word of God. The Word of God is not bound. You read some of the descriptions of the Bible that it gives for itself. It's like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The Word of God is like a fire. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's like water. It's like seed. It's like a lamp to your feet and a light onto your path. And that little word, dunamai, is the same word from which we get our word dynamite. There's explosive power in the Word of God to change your life suddenly and dynamically. I remember years ago hearing about a man that sent some of his books off to a bookbinder because the covers were falling off them. And whenever he got his little New Testament back, he looked at it and he looked at the spine and it was such a thin little book that the printer and the person that put the new cover on didn't have little lead letters small enough to write the words New Testament on the spine of his Bible. So he just took the initials, the New Testament, or TNT, on the spine of his Bible. TNT. And that's what the New Testament is. It's TNT. It's the dynamite of God. The Bible has got the power to revolutionize your life, to transform your life, to explode and to destroy any excuse, any sin, any habit that you cannot get the victory over. Your life can be changed dramatically today by taking heed to the Word of God. I think about men in Scripture, testimonies to the power of the Word of God, and women as well whose lives were changed by the Gospel. What about Jacob the twister? His life was changed. I see a harlot by the name of Rahab. Her life was changed. I see an evil king by the name of Manasseh who burned his children as a living sacrifice in the fire. His life was changed. Naaman the leper was changed. Mary Magdalene, the demon-possessed prostitute, was changed. The demoniac of the Gadara, he was changed. The prodigal son was restored. Zacchaeus, the crooked tax collector, was changed. The dying thief was converted. The centurion's hard heart was taken away. Nicodemus, the religious man, his life was transformed. Ethiopian, the pagan, that never knew anything of the gospel, the first time he heard the word of God, his life was changed. Saul of Tarsus was changed. Cornelius, that morally upright man, his life was changed as well. Lydia, the ordinary, hard-working girl that sold purple, she was changed. Timothy, the young child, was changed as well. You see, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter really where you're going in life. I want to tell you today that your life can be changed today by the power of this old book, because the Word of God is able to make you wise unto salvation. It's the dynamite of God. The word dunamis also brings us to the word dynamo. You all know what a little dynamo is. We used to have them in our push bikes as children. And you put the little dynamo in the back tire, and so long as you pedal, the light stays on. And it's not an explosive power, but it's a continual power. It's a consistent power. And you say, I can't live the Christian life. You're right, you can't. I can't live it either. But the word of God, because it's a living word, gives us power to do things that we never thought that we could do before. The Word of God can change your life. It's also dynamic power. I don't know much about science or anything like that, but I know that dynamics is the study of energy forces that produce motion. And so the word able, dunamis, is the word from which we get the word dynamics today. And the Bible certainly is a dynamic book. Let me ask you today, is your life going anywhere? Or is it stale, dry, stagnant, stuck in the mud? Well, whenever the Word of God gets a grip of you, you'll begin to go places for God. The Word of God is like a mirror. And that's quite the reason why some people don't like it. I remember hearing about a missionary that went to a certain country. And to gain favor with the tribes, she and her husband began to give out little mirrors. And everybody had never seen their faces before except in a stream or in a pool. And whenever they got these little mirrors, they were just so amazed that they could see exactly what they looked at. But there was one woman in the tribe who was in fact the leader of the tribe. She was a queen. And for years everybody had told her that she was the most beautiful person in the tribe and in the country. And yet, whenever she got the mirror and saw herself for the first time, she was horrified because rather than being the beautiful person that she thought she was the ugliest person in the tribe. And so what she did was she banned mirrors and nobody was allowed to own a mirror. And so it is with the Word of God. People despise it because it shows us as we really are. You know, I'm getting to that stage in life where I don't like to look too much in the mirror. Crow's feet around the eyes. Grey hair and all the rest of it. And getting a lot older. And whenever I look in the mirror, first thing in the morning, in fact, any time during the day, it's not often a pretty picture. And yet the Bible shows us as we are, warts and all. And maybe today that's why you don't like reading the Bible. Because you don't like hearing that there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's a day of judgment, you need to be born again, and that you're a sinner. We've thought about the privilege of having the Scriptures, the power that there are in the Scriptures, but in closing, what about the purpose of the Scriptures? Why has God given us the Bible? Why do we have this wonderful book? Well, Paul says to the young Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, that are able to make thee wise unto salvation." God has given us this book. We have got the Bible today because God wants to give us wisdom. The Word of God is able to make us wise. You know, we often talk today about common sense. And people complain today that there's not a lot of common sense about anymore. And I just wonder, is there not so much common sense because the fear of God is gone? The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And whenever we close the Bible and whenever the fear of God departs, then I believe common sense will go with it. I think it's amazing just the things that people do today. I bought a bottle of Lucozade last night in the garage. And as I looked at the lid, it said on the lid, "Unscrew thy hand." Now, I don't know, but why they have to put a message on the top of a bottle that tells the people that are going to try and drink out of it, "Unscrew thy hand." What other way would you try and take the lid off a bottle of Lucozade? Put it up your nose or stick it in your ear or something like that? I remember in Tesco's buying a bag of peanuts. And it said in the back of the bag of peanuts, "Warning, may contain nuts." Now what sort of person buys a bag of peanuts and then opens up the bag of peanuts and then to their horror and to their surprise there are nuts in that bag? Or you get these financial advisors and they make an absolute fortune nowadays and they tell people, you know, whenever you earn money, to avoid getting into debt, don't make more money than you, or don't spend more money than you make. And all of a sudden, people's lives are revolutionized because they've discovered that the best way to stay out of debt is not to spend money that you don't have. And yet common sense would tell us that. If you don't want to get into debt, don't borrow money that you can't pay back. And yet these people are making a fortune. And yet if we only opened the Bible, we would see that the Word of God makes us wise. It answers the most fundamental questions in life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here and where am I going when I die? It makes us wise unto salvation. You know the reason that we have the Bible today? It's very simple. It's so that you can be saved. It's so that your sins can be forgiven. It's so that your life can be changed, that you can know God intimately, that you can know Jesus Christ in a personal way, that you can have peace in life, that you can have assurance in life, that you can see answers to prayer, and that you can know for assurance that you've got eternal life in God's heaven. You see, to close the Bible and to put it away is like living life without the instruction manual. You'll never realize your full potential and purpose in life until we get back into the Bible. You say to me today, does the Bible work? Does the Bible really save? Yes, it does. Look around you. Look around you and see people in this very meeting this morning who have been saved from all sorts of things. And today they've got something that they never want to lose. A relationship with the God of heaven. You say today, "Preacher, I think you're brainwashed." You know something? You're exactly right. My brain has been washed. The Word of God says that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Jesus Christ said, "Now are you clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." Ephesians chapter 3 or 5 verse 26 talks about the washing of water by the word. This book will save you. Soldier once in France got too close to a shell and that shell went off and the shrapnel just flew towards him. And as he fell to the ground unconscious, a friend of his came over and began to try and revive him. And he found in that man's pocket a copy of the Bible. And he realized that the man, though stunned, was still alive and in fact wasn't all that badly injured. And what had actually happened was that the shell that had come his direction had penetrated through all of his armor and through all of the clothes and the coats and different things that he was wearing, through all of his uniform and so on and so forth.
And that shell had penetrated through his outer clothing and had hit the Bible, gone through the cover of the Bible, and eventually stopped at the book of Psalms, chapter 90. And in Psalm chapter 90, we read the words, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And was it not for the Bible that this man was carrying, that shell would have took him into eternity. And so we could say that literally he was saved because of the Bible. And so it is today with us. Those of us who are saved were saved because of the message of this old book. Let me ask you in closing, are you saved? Have you embraced the message of God's word? Have you embraced the Christ of which the Bible speaks about? May God bless you, and may God continue to speak to your heart.